There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then loop up.
The glory hole is like a like dick theater. I'm imagining your
pants. Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another week here at By the By Podcast as Bradford is in the background making a beverage, digging out ice from the freezer, trying to open the Bailey's bottle.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so this week we have Kobe and Judy with us.
Hi.
Hi.
And Bradford is being very nice and making Judy a drink.
You'll drink, my lady.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, that was special. Special delivery. Okay, now that Hello. We are sort of organized over here.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm present.
Well, this might lead into today's topic, so we're going to see. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. Yeah, so welcome back to another week here at By the By. Like I said, we have Kobe and Judy with us. Thank you for coming on today, this evening.
Thank you.
This morning.
For having us.
Midnight, whenever people are listening, I don't know. Yeah.
We record these every Tuesday at 3:26 in the morning.
Yeah.
Local time.
Uh-huh.
Hi.
Yeah, like you're getting out of bed that early.
You're only up that early for
going to work.
I know. I know. I love her. She's mean. So if you're listening to this now, you have missed the most recent Pendulum Party.
It was
last Friday, but that's okay because we've got another one coming up.
April 26th.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Which I know it's February, but it's just around the corner. Trust me. It's like, goddamn.
Look, why the hell is it February already?
I don't know.
I don't get this.
I'm going to say no, thank you.
Because we are racing through the year to get to pendulums, that's why.
Yeah.
Can we just take a breath, though, and I don't know, maybe enjoy some...
January.
Honestly, though, January has been hellacious.
We
are currently January. Sitting over the vents of hell.
We are.
Yeah. January sucked. Yeah. Roll on. Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Roll on June, July.
December even.
Yeah.
November.
Jeez.
November starts.
Escape. November yes. and escape.
November.
Well, we're going to be in the States in May.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a lot of time to do fun stuff. But if you're in and around the Kentucky area and you can pull us away from family, then yes, we're trying to figure something out.
Well,
it will not be hard pulling Bradford away from family.
So we're just going to throw this out now. If you are in the Kentucky area in early May, send us a message either on email or join our Discord server and send us a message there.
And how do people join our Discord server, Angela?
They support us at any level on patreon.com/bythebypodcast. And then you will get an email with how to join our Discord server. Link the two up and you're in.
Yeah.
And then send us a message and let us know if you're in the Kentucky area. Maybe we'll do a meet and greet.
We're happy to do it on a weekend. So just give us a call.
Yeah. All right. So that's our Kentucky visit coming up.
Yes.
So now shall we get into this week's topic?
Yes, sure.
Okay. So we've had some questions about poly life, poly struggles, I don't know, society and being polyamorous. And so we're going to kind of talk about some logistics of being poly. It sounds exciting. I know. Really great. But we're going to try and make it as fun as possible.
Way to make it sexy, Angela. We're going to talk about logistics.
What sexy word would you use instead?
Oh, no, I wouldn't have made it sexy at all. It's a lot of goddamn work.
Yeah.
So I guess we can start with that. Is that people do think that, like, oh, you're polyamorous. That means you get to have sex with whoever you want and all this stuff. And that,
no, that's not what polyamorous means. People think that's about swinging in open relationships.
Oh, people think that about polyamory too.
Well,
yeah, fine. They do.
All right, if you're one of those people, you're dumb. No, I'm sorry.
And y'all fucking all the time.
Well, the thing is, who gets to have sex with whoever they want? Those other people want to have sex with me, and sometimes that's the problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people I want to have sex with who are like, and you are obnoxious.
Oh, you're Angela's and, partner. Yeah.
And here's your restraining order.
But it is a lot of work, and it's definitely worth it, but it's more just the logistics of things can get really complicated because the more people you add to a relationship, the more complex it gets.
Yeah, the example I always use is if you've ever had friends that you wanted to have dinner with and you're like, okay, there's four of us. How do we figure out where to go and when to go? And you're like, oh, well, you know, here's the thing. I'm only available on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. My partner, she's great, but she has yoga on Tuesdays and she has, you know, the book club on Friday. And then your partner, he has book club on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and every other Thursday. Oof.
Yeah.
And already like,
yeah,
you know what? Let's just get drive through on a Saturday.
I mean, think about like with your primary partner. It also depends, like if you have kids and things that plays into it as well.
Yeah, it does.
But think about your
thing.
Yeah, yeah. And think about like your primary partner and how difficult it is sometimes to schedule time together with them. Add a third person, add a fourth person. Yeah, the more you add, it gets infinitely more complex.
Yeah, and there's just times you want to get drunk and hug and do trivia on the lounge. And you don't end up doing anything else.
That's a Sunday, baby.
Oh, that's a Sunday. Yeah, sorry, that's Sunday. Check that in my calendar.
Yeah.
But it is. And it's always those people who say one dog is hard, two dogs should be twice as hard. And that's not true. They become exponentially harder after the second one.
Yeah.
The same as of partners.
Yeah.
One partner is hard. Two partners is exponentially harder. Wait till you get to six.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you're like, it's a baby, it's a spider web.
And that's why you need good time management skills. Like someone in the poly group needs to be a project manager.
Oh my God.
Certainly helps.
And
certainly
why helps. Are we all looking at you? Right
yeah,
now?
Yeah. You are the project manager of our poly group. Yeah.
Yeah.
We needed a your performance review is coming up. It happens the 1st of April.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good to know. I got to get on the last couple months here then. but yeah, it does become more difficult and you do really have to manage your time a lot. And I would say that we're pretty lucky in our poly circle in that
nobody's a lot of work. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, you're right. Like nobody's really a lot of work, but also pretty well everyone in our poly circle gets along with everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Because you also have different types of polyamory that we've talked about before. We're not going to get into that now, but different types.
Listen to the back catalog.
But different kinds where like, you know, Bradford might have a partner and I might have a partner and they may not be a joint partner. And then, so it kind of can become very convoluted very quickly. And what does the structure look like? And what time do we spend together? What do we do together? You know, how much of life do we share?
Yeah. And just life. In order to do this, you need to work and rest yourself and take care of yourself. There's half your day, three quarters of your day.
Yeah.
Every other bit that happens to sleep in is a bonus.
And then like, you have to add a nap in there.
And
That's a nap.
I'm with Judy.
And look, if you can sleep it in, that's a bonus.
I was going to ask what might slip in. Oh my
God. But no, you make a really good point. Most of us work 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And of a 24-hour day, there's what? A third.
A third. And then you want to sleep 8 hours a day. Yeah.
There's another third. Yeah.
Say
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You should, yeah. I said.
Oh, okay.
Anyone out there that doesn't sleep out 8 hours a day, welcome to the club.
I am not functional on less than 8 hours.
Wow. I wish I was the same.
You don't, because I'm wasting time.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm a 4 hour person. I'm 4 to 5 hour.
I'm best at 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm best at 10 to 12.
My last 2 weeks, I've averaged 4.5.
So, like, last night I had one of those magical moments where I woke up, and I love this, and we've all been there, where you wake up and you go, wow, I feel so refreshed. I'm ready to go. And I looked at the time and it was 2:30 in the morning and I was like, I still have 6 hours to sleep. Fuck yeah. And then like literally I threw my head so hard on the pillow, Pippin was like, what the fuck? What are you doing, man?
Fuck this guy.
See, the other morning I woke up at 4 and I was like, okay, I'm awake. Yeah, got to work.
But you get up stupid early every day anyway.
You do.
But I got to work and I was wide awake, but 2 o'clock hit and I was like, yeah, I'm going for a nap.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, we all work different schedules. We all
which is another problem, priorities. Right?
Yeah, we do. You know, and it's another problem with polyamory. Your work schedules don't always overlap. Mm-hmm. People work weekends. They work nights. Yeah. They work mm-hmm. days, early mm-hmm. mornings. You work early mornings. Well, I had this conversation just the other day with you.
That he was disappointed when at 10:30 at night, I'm tired and I want to go home and
that's
go to
right.
sleep. 10:30
at night,
because he wants to stay out and party till 2 a.m.
Because I'm a 2 a.m. guy and you want to go to bed at 11 and I'm okay with that. I've made peace with that. But sometimes you just still get that twang of I'm ready to go.
Do you know what you do?
You go and visit Angela.
You stick her in the Uber and send her home. Send her. And you stay out partying.
And sometimes that does happen. You know, like sometimes it's like, okay, you go and I will keep partying. But it's
different.
Like,
it's
different.
But like, and it's funny because I look at it from I'm on Jude's side. It gets to be 11 o'clock, and I'm like, well. You know, and I'm the guy who stands up, you know, goes into the other room and comes back in his PJs, and people are like,
"So what
we need to leave?
Pajama lady."
So what we do is we send Judy and Bradford to go to Sleepy's, and then Kobe and I stay out.
Well, that's,
we can lay on the lounge and watch a movie and hug and go to sleep.
I like that. I actually can't count the amount of times we've sat on the lounge and Angela and I are talking, watching something, and you two are snoring. Honestly, it happens.
Come on.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, so
I'm okay with the two.
It is who I am.
Yeah. But it all plays into polyamory thing. It really does.
That happened last Sunday night. I went to sleep and everybody else was watching TV.
Yeah.
And I was just
exactly.
Like,
and it's not because you're not interested. It's just that's the end of your day.
My thing is I'm always worried about you. And I think that's the whole, again, it goes back to the poly thing. It's like, I don't want to be like, oh, she doesn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But like, at least she's sleeping. So she must feel safe. We've created a safe space.
It's not definitely not that I don't want to be here.
No,
You're
safe. You're home. You're sleeping.
Yeah.
But it's still the end of your day.
I'm sorry, but you made it home.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So
all right, what else you got?
So one of the other ways, and I think this is a really big one that I would say that polyamory kind of creeps into our lives and society impacts how we view it and portray it particularly. I would say portray it more than anything is because oftentimes people don't really understand it. Or they actively disapprove of polyamory and like just kind of the structure of it. And that can influence how we behave in family settings, work settings, just kind of out in society in general. Some people will lie about their partners or they'll devalue them and just say, oh, it's just a friend or something like that. You know, and you're not really giving them the full weight of who they are in your life. You're not portraying that to other people. So I think that not full acceptance by society in a lot of ways, particularly workplaces and families, I think are kind of the two most common ones because they're also where we spend a lot of our time. And if your lifestyle is not fully accepted by people in those realms, then you are going to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going out with a friend or, you know, who's this person? Oh, they're just a friend. And it's not like this is a really special person to me. This is a partner. Yeah. This is somebody that I actually really love, right?
It's really interesting because at my company Christmas party this year, our HR lady came to Sydney and we all had dinner and we were walking from the hotel where my boss and the HR lady were staying to the restaurant and we're walking along and we were talking about something and I was like, oh yeah, then our boyfriend came over and he did blah, 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 blah. And she goes, your boyfriend? And it was one of those things where it was like, all right, this is already out. Let's figure out how to do this quickly. So it was like, and it wasn't that I'm ashamed of it. I think I'm just fucking sick of having to answer questions about
Explain it.
And so I did it in the full Band-Aid. It was like, yes, Angela and I are polyamorous. We have a boyfriend, two boyfriends, a girlfriend, and a couple who are our boyfriends and girlfriends. So we all kind of big one happy family, but it's kind of weird. It's not normal, but we love it and it works for us. Any questions? She goes, many. And I'm not going to ask them.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, it's,
Yeah.
It's really, it's weird because it's complex.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that anything that's like, there's a lot of wonderful things that are complex, like, you know, a lasagna.
Yeah. And I actually think it's interesting how it, when it's closer to you, like you said, a work environment or a family environment where the conversation becomes different. Who here likes peanut M&Ms?
I like peanut M&M.
No.
Okay. Do you like peanut
M&Ms? Meh.
Okay. So I went and bought some peanut M&Ms at a store. And it
I'm so curious to see how this.
It does.
Like, if we post when this right now,
no.
I feel like we should do an ad break just to fuck with people.
It also, really does.
If you say peanut butter M&Ms, that's different.
Yeah, peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, that's the M&M on.
Different.
Yeah, no, peanut butter M&Ms.
I heard peanut.
You said peanut M&Ms.
No, peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh.
Oh, I well, love
anybody
those.
Who doesn't like peanut M&Ms is not part of our
peanut,
poly.
Loser. Yeah, peanut butter.
Peanut butter, M&Ms.
Yeah,
Bradford.
Peanut butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
The, you know, the ones that are really
the
really
orange squeeze packet. Ones. Yeah.
Squeeze that bottle, Bradford.
So, I was at a store. The store shut at 5:30. I was there at 5:50 and they were mopping the floor. And I walked in and I said, "Look, I really need to get some peanut butter M&Ms." And they said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, my boyfriend loves them, my girlfriend loves them, my wife hates them." And it was free. It was free. It was a completely free conversation.
Yeah.
Because I had no attachment to them.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I would not have done that in work. I would not have done that to family. But it was so liberating to be able to say that.
I think you would have done it to family. I'm sorry. But
maybe I would have done it to family.
I certainly
would have done it at work. I wouldn't have done it at work.
I think the most important part of this conversation is where are our goddamn peanut butter M&Ms?
That's what I was wondering.
I sent you a photo and the same week.
I did eat a photo.
No. The same week you got multiple packets from the fucking theater and I'm like, fuck you, I'm eating the peanut M&Ms.
I do remember that.
You remember that? Yeah. At the Lyric. You got them at the Lyric and I'm like, well, fine, fuck you.
Yeah,
I'm
but you still them. Got them for us.
Well,
I got them. Said me.
I got them with you in mind. I didn't say they were for you.
All right, so folks.
That's even better.
All right, folks, that's love for you. You buy shit for your partners and then you're like, fuck you, I'm going to eat it
anyway.
Fuck it, you already got your own.
You got your own? We've all had some.
Let's
we
just
all
experienced we it. My God.
I'll trade you this bag of peanut butter.
A peanut butter M&Ms.
For your bag.
Yeah.
As long as yours is bigger.
Yeah. And I think the consensus here is anyone listening that doesn't like peanut butter M&Ms, just, you know, get off Discord, get off Patreon.
Don't get off Patreon.
Oh, no, stay on Patreon, stay on Patreon.
We got to keep the lights on, mate.
Now, look, some people...
I just don't understand you.
Some people may have a peanut butter allergy. Like, there's reasons,
That's fine.
That's a very valid reason.
Yes. Yeah, allergies, no problem.
I don't like the taste. I just don't understand them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, which is better, peanut butter M&Ms or Reese's Pieces?
Oh, that's a big call. We actually had the other day these... Reese's bar that had Reese's Pieces around them.
They're good. Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. It's called like the Overload or something.
Yeah, outrageous.
Yeah.
God, that thing was awesome.
I love it. Angela's like, I'm trying to run a podcast.
No, I'm just wondering where all this candy is. Like, you can talk about it. I'll put it in front of me.
There are M&Ms in the closet.
And we'll be right back.
We'll just take this small break. Bradford, over to you.
Oh, but I want peanut butter M&Ms too.
And you know who will really, really appreciate the peanut butter M&Ms?
Judy.
No, Naughty, because as we eat them, he loves his ASMR.
He loves to hear me crunch on ice and things and potato chips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He just loves it.
Big love to the Naughty.
Yeah. Okay, so another place where I have seen logistics be difficult, and at times it is starting to get better.
It's controlling podcasts when there's four people on it.
No, that's never going to get better.
Goodbye, everyone.
But booking hotels and accommodation.
Oh, God.
Because it's starting to get a little better than it was. But I know that, like, years ago, we booked a hotel room for Bradford and I. And then we were like, you know, we tried to add the gentleman on to the room. So we tried to be like, there's going to be three adults. And they're like, you can't do that. Why the fuck not?
It was a king-size bed, and the room was fucking ginormous. Yeah.
And I bet you there was a couch, too.
Yeah. And so we were like, well, why not? And they're like, oh, no, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, fine. So we just got the room for two of us, and then he just came anyway and like to visit or whatever. I don't know.
And all over your face.
But I do find that a lot of times if it's particularly three adults is when they tend to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
If there's two.
If you're dating a child, it's okay. I'm joking. Oh, that's horrible.
No, I was going to say if there's two beds and four adults, and I'm okay with like charge more, fine.
Yes.
But even four adults in a room, they tend to say no. Yep. So it's basically anything over two, unless somebody's a child, they tend to be like, either flat out say no or raise an eyebrow.
Why have two double beds if you can't have four people in it?
Yeah. And so we've had instances more recently where it's gotten better.
It has gotten better. And I will say the last 5 years.
Are you going to talk about Cairns?
Go ahead.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So we were up in Cairns and there were seven of us in a three bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Room. Seven of us.
Seven.
And the guy was like, there's only room for six. And like, as a side note, that was a complete lie because they had one of those ginormous couches.
Oh my God.
And like, three of us could have slept on the couch.
I could have fit 20 people in that room.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say the couch alone slept five and then you've got the floor all around it. Like,
but I was like,
huge.
But we have seven.
And there was corners.
Yeah.
But we have seven. And he was freaking out. And I was thinking he wasn't going to allow it happen.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, he sleeps in the bed with us. And he goes, oh, well, that's fine.
What he was actually concerned about, it came out in the end, was that he was going to have to get a cot and bring it up to the room and blah, blah, blah. He didn't want to do that. And I was like, no. Like, there's seven of us, but three of us sleep in one bed. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's not, I don't care about that.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sex pervert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He was, but it was great. Like,
but we're charging you an extra $30 for sheet washing and sterilization.
I don't blame that.
No, that's fine.
But they didn't. Yeah. They didn't. They
didn't. But also, if someplace wants to charge extra for a third person in a room, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's
just
like,
give me more towels.
Yeah, because you need more towels. Like, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, you need more towels. That's fine. But, it's, you know, just to say that, no, you can't do it. Like, there's room. My lifestyle is none of your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's really common.
Yeah.
That's not unusual at all. It's the two people, one child. It's three people.
I mean, arguably, the gentleman is nothing but a man-child.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
Spanky's at least responsible. She's an adult.
Yeah, it's true.
But the gentleman...
Yeah. It's a sliding scale. Much love to both of you.
I mean, we've got to have, like, somebody who's responsible, right?
That's you.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Shit.
You didn't realize you were the responsible one, did you? Didn't. No.
Yeah. No. All right, so another place that this comes into play is when you RSVP for weddings, work parties, things like that, because it's always one of you plus one, right? And now we've been to a wedding. We're about to go to another wedding where it's basically Pippin plus two. and then they're like, give us the email addresses of your partners so we can invite your partners as well, which is very lovely.
Yeah. Mm.
But most RSVPs are someone plus one.
Yeah.
And so that becomes difficult when you're like, I don't know, who's free? Let me pull out the calendar.
Yeah. And if one partner's away, can you take the other partner isn't actually your partner?
Who's not your primary nesting partner,
Yeah. In their eyes, they are not your partner, so are they invited or is it?
And I'm going to just call bullshit because if we were all single, you would get a plus one.
Yeah.
So why don't you get a plus one and you get a plus one? We all get a plus one. What's the problem?
The Oprah of plus ones?
I am the Oprah of plus ones. As a couple, we should get a plus two.
That sounds expensive.
It does sound expensive, but, you know, times have changed. Give me a plus two.
Times, they are changing.
What if it's like Kobe plus N?
Oh, N plus one. That's a whole thing.
I love it.
Oh, God, I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
No way.
It all checks out.
And then along the same lines or similar lines is restaurants. So particularly if you're going for like nice dinners, we're coming up on Valentine's Day, like Valentine's Day dinners, things like that. A lot of times it is just two people.
Mm.
But I do love that there are some places around here. I'm going to say around here because I know one of them is also in Perth, so in Australia, that have started doing like thruples for Valentine's Day and groups and things. And I love it. Or like friends types of things because, again, like there's, yeah, it's not always just two. Like, why is the world set up for couples and twos? Couples.
Yeah, it's not who you're dating. It's who you're banging.
And yeah.
Some of those, yeah. Like, some of us are between 1 and 17. Like, that's, yeah. I'm sorry if you can't fit us in your restaurant.
If I'm dropping 200 a head for Valentine's dinner, I'm getting banged.
You're getting head. You're getting 200 a head.
That's right. 200 a head. I'm getting 200 a head. 200 a head.
And you're getting banged, but probably by interest rates.
You're fucked, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Well, at least you're banking. Yeah, I just railed my bank.
No, but it's very true. It's that I think they call it
painal. My credit card is suffering from painal. Sorry.
I think we're getting to a point, though, that people are stopping presuming that your primary partner is of the opposite gender.
Yeah, you're right.
In the workplace and in generally meeting somebody, getting the acceptance of a polyamorous situation is starting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not there yet. We're getting there.
And I'm just going to give advice to everybody who's listening who may be bi. My fun thing that I do whenever I'm at work is I never call Angela my wife.
Nope.
It's always my partner.
100% Jude's always my partner.
You're my partner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like partner implies equality, whereas wife implies
majority.
Is often subservient.
Yeah.
I started using partner when we moved to Australia because it was a much more common term here, even for opposite gendered spouse, than it was in the States. You never really called anybody a partner unless they were the same gender.
Mm.
And I liked it because it is a bit more equality, but also it's more like, I don't know, it's more like we're in this together, as opposed to spouse is more a legal entity.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It says that to me.
A partner is somebody you're doing something with. You're on the journey.
Like the sex.
No, but apart from the sex, you are on that journey together. You are doing everything together.
Yeah.
They're your partner in a house. They're partner financially, emotionally. And I think it's a really big thing.
Mm. Yeah, mm. I like that. And it's fun to sometimes squeeze in like, oh, yeah, my partners do that. And they're like, wait, your partner does that?
Like, do you write that with a parentheses around the S?
Yeah,
I do too.
I said what I said.
Yeah, there's a girl at work who is gay. Her partner also works at work. And I
want to be one of those people who plays at work. Sorry.
Well, there's
fuck you ass.
There's a lot of them too. But I always referred to Cobe as my partner.
Yeah.
So she didn't know whether Cobe was male, female, other. And she asked me one day, she said, why do you always refer to your partner as your partner? Why is he your husband? Is he? And I said, because we're partners. Doesn't matter what we're doing, where we go, he's my partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if we're not together, he's still my partner.
Yeah.
Mm. In crime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Join us next week when we discuss Snowtown.
And if anyone wants to post my bail.
His partner will not.
Heck no.
So one of the other areas that we've seen, and this is definitely changing, at least here where we are, is I'm going to say generically work perks. So theater tickets, anything that like in our circle, it tends to be theater tickets. It used to be, you know, you plus one kind of thing. And now it's more like plus a couple or however many you say you need.
Yeah.
But I will say that a lot of work perks and things like that are starting to branch out and be not just a plus one, depending on the circumstance and
except
all of that.
Except for Christmas parties.
Except for Christmas parties.
Definitely.
Yep. Christmas but parties. That's a lot more money. So.
Well, arguably, my company's Christmas party, I'm not even allowed to bring my spouse.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of Christmas parties, you're not even allowed to take your
partner. Mine hasn't the past few years. No. So, yeah.
No. There's a lot of it that is only the person that works at the premise.
Honestly, from a business perspective, I actually think that's smart because if we don't allow any partners, you can't offend anybody.
Yeah. I'm okay with it, to be honest.
The truth of the matter is I don't want to go to my own Christmas party. Why would I want to go to Angela's?
Oh, I'm happy to go to my Christmas party as long as I can bring my partner. And yeah. Next year, maybe I got to bring my partners.
Oh my God. We'll walk in like West Side Story.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're a jet all the way. When you're a poly, you're a poly all the way. From the guy that is straight to the guy that is gay.
Yeah, I haven't gone to the my
sorry,
last
that was by erasure.
Three Christmas parties, but I've been to the last three of your Christmas parties.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Because that's it's more, but it's I'm more inclusive and it's,
And but it's I'm okay with, only work people.
Yeah.
Well, you and I are very lucky as well because we work in the sciences and all the band geeks that used to fuck one another and all the choir kids who used to fuck one another, the ones that didn't go into become doctors, they became scientists.
So they're all there.
Yeah.
All right, can I get some numbers?
You've got their number.
And what's really funny, I've ran into somebody at a conference recently, and I hadn't seen her in 4 years. And one of the first things she asked me was, are you still dating the guy that you were dating?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, yeah, we're still together. And we've actually, expanded our web now. And there's six of us now, seven of us now.
Yeah.
And six of us. Seven. There's seven of us. Yeah. Counting is very difficult for a boy who grew up in Kentucky. Yeah. There's this many.
any more and you're going to have to drop your pants.
Right?
He does it now.
But it's kind of nice to have that sort of just openness.
Yeah.
But again, it's the nerds of the world who are kind of okay with it.
Yeah. And I got to say, that's one of the best things about being poly is that you can say that it's not just your partner.
Yeah,
you've got that support network. You've got the people. You've got a gang.
We've got a gang.
We've got a gang, and they're not just friends that you. Yeah. Oh, hail Bradford! Oh, hail Bradford!
Oh, Divide Bradford!
I mean, I am all about this. I want to walk into a room and go, "Hello, my children." Yes, yes. Quiet down. Yes, of course. Yes, you in the back. I love you all. You're beautiful, lovely humans. That's what I want. Instead of what I do now, which is like, hello, my children. Anyway, and if you want to join the cult of Bradford, join us at any level on Patreon. Okay. We have a cult level. I should create a cult level.
Oh, yeah. There needs to be God, a cult level.
Yeah.
If you join at that level, you get a robe.
Where's my robe?
I love it.
And they instantly get access to your bank account details.
Robe, cum rag.
Sorry,
but I digress.
Yes.
Go on, Angela. What more do you have?
So I think the biggest one, and this is the one that everybody will universally agree on, is legal partnerships. Mm-hmm. Legal partnerships of more than two are not a thing.
No.
Society, governments, I'm going to say governments, are not set up to recognize a legal partnership of more than two.
Yeah.
No, and it's really problematic.
But there's also the having your property, like if you own a unit and if you and your partner cark it tomorrow, then why can't your next partner be in control of your finances and your...
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
But you can go through a will and all that stuff, right?
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because that's not the problem I have. But because in that case, for the way our will is set up, our will is set up it's a pretty tight will. Yeah, he is. Anyway, but it's a pretty tight will in that if we both died tomorrow, the money goes, we know where the money's going.
Yeah, there's a Pippin trail of who
there's
gets
a Pippin trail.
These people get Pippin, these people get Pippin. There's a few layers depending on who's still around at the time. Because let's be honest.
Oh, God, I got to get Pippin?
Yeah, don't travel with your partners, people. It's you can't do that because you're going to all die and it's all going to be over.
If the plane goes down, nobody's
taking Pippin.
Poor Pippin.
He's over there looking for his toy. What'd y'all do with my fucking toy?
Funny. He's also you keep saying my name.
Yeah,
What about me?
Just shut the fuck up and let me go to sleep.
Where I see it is retirement funds.
Yeah.
At least the U.S. puts enough money into military that your partners should get some sort of benefit.
Yeah.
Trillions and trillions of dollars.
And look, don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, fuck that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Even in the U.S., can you name... second partner?
It depends. So some of my retirement accounts, I can have a primary beneficiary, secondary beneficiaries. But
you have to be one of those? I thought
no.
I always had to be my primary beneficiary.
You
mean if I die?
You can be my primary beneficiary. If I decide to give you less than 100%, then you have to sign off on me giving you less than 100%.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah. But I feel like, I felt there was one where maybe I didn't, but maybe not. It could just be that there is a primary and a secondary.
This is bullshit. This whole thing is bullshit. It really is. Yeah.
But it just gets complicated. So, it's basically if you're polyamorous and you're like including people in your estate planning, just make sure you really think it out. Make sure it's all written down. Make sure you've got your wills and your power of attorneys and everything's in order.
Go to a lawyer that will do a proper will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make sure you have your partner.
It's not sexy, but do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's sexy. Preparation is sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, preparation is not.
You've got your lube, you've got your condom, you've got your cum rag, and you've got your will.
Will. We should have our wills on cum rags. And we can wipe your junk off on our wills. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that dirty lawyer stuff?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Valentine's Day may have come and gone, but sexy times are here to stay. And if you maybe you didn't have a Valentine this year, maybe you did and you didn't like what they got you, or maybe you don't like what you got your Valentine. Well, it's not too late. You can go to adamandeve.com and use checkout code BYTHEBY, BYTHEBI, and you can get yourself something special, something sexy, something raunchy, something to titillate the bedroom. That's right. Why? Because you'll get one item at 50% off. You'll get 6 videos on demand, some extra things thrown in your box, and free discreet shipping. That's right. Not even you will know what's showing up at your house, apartment, abode, wherever you live. Cave? I don't know. Go to adamandeve.com. Use checkout code BYTHEBY. That's BYTHEBI. Curious Humans Game. What a lot of fun. Go to www.curioushumansgame.com and use checkout code BYTHEBY, BYTHEBI, for 10% off, and you will get questions like this from their Kinky Humans set.
I have masturbated watching a video of myself having sex.
Fuck yeah, I have. I have about 5 of my favorite videos. One is Angela's going down on me, and I like artfully just record the shadows. One, the gentleman recorded us while we were fucking in a shower. One, she's riding me like a cowgirl and her little arms are flailing in the air like she's one of those air things at a used car lot.
A blimpy thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like at a used car lot, you know. Yeah, yeah. That's like, honestly, that's what's going on. And like her boobies are like, I'm like hands on them. And one, we're in LA and I've got there was a mirror on the ceiling, so I'm recording that. As we 69, I have recorded a lot of us fucking and I watch it all the time.
Wow.
Next question.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was the question.
Have you? I feel like I may have taken over because I got really excited.
I have not near as much as you have, apparently. But I think most of the videos are on your phone, too. I need to get more on my phone.
Well, there's the problem. I know. There's your problem.
Yeah, we're going to get to this problem in the next segment about how, like, sharing of things. But yes.
Hang on. How do I have 1,500 videos?
All right, Kobe. Can you answer this question?
Yeah.
I have masturbated watching a video of myself having sex.
No.
I love how he's appalled by it.
No, I'm not appalled, but at all. I have self-esteem issues.
Okay.
Really? Me too. That's why I like to watch myself doing the fucking.
Well.
Look, there you go. Go to Curious Humans Games. You'll have conversations like this. You'll dig deep into your relationship and the relationships of your partner or partners, and it's good fun. So CuriousHumansGame.com. Use checkout code BYTHEBY. BYTHEBY.
All right, so a question that we get asked a lot.
How big are your boobies?
They're this big.
I'm going to use the word ample.
Ample? Supple. Yeah. Is supple better than ample?
More than a mouthful's a waste, baby. Lucky your mouth's big.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, it is how do you stay in touch with everyone and coordinate shit? Because that is...
We pass a lot of notes in high school.
And I will say that logistically, how we stay in touch with people is chat apps. And for me, it depends upon a lot of it's how we started chatting. So did we start on something like we used to use Kick. We don't do that anymore because they have way too many ads. So now we tend.
Then we use Telegram.
We use Telegram, ooh, which has been good for me, but Bradford gets a lot of ads. I don't know why.
So many like scam people.
Crypto.
Yeah, right. Have you thought about crypto?
Crypto. Well,
yeah, but I don't want to do it right now. I'm trying to get my game on.
Which is weird because I don't get that on there. But so basically now we pretty much only use, for most people anyway, we use Facebook Messenger or...
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's most of it. I am weird about text.
Thank you, Zuckerberg.
Yeah. No. I'm weird about text in that because texts come through and it's usually like from Bradford or people when there's like an emergency or something really important, then I tend to not like text for just general kind of conversations because then it's just like bing, 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 bing. And then I'm like, holy shit, what's happening? The world is blowing up. So I tend to not like that. Some people really do like it, but we tend to stick to WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger for most of ours. But there's lots of them out there, a lot of different chat apps that people use. And it's basically figure out what works for you and what most people have. We have some people who have a delineation of I use this for work and this for personal. Fine, let's work with that then, you know, within whatever parameters we can. And I will say that like we used to use WhatsApp at work as well with customers. Oof. And I was so careful. Every time I sent a message, I was like, okay, like three times, triple check. Who's this going to? What am I saying? And it,
your
and
customers are like, why are you showing me your boobs?
Yeah, yeah.
And we finally got away from using WhatsApp with work, and now it's all Teams and whatever, which is great. I love that because otherwise I'm just like, this is, it's stressful.
It is stressful. I still get messages on WhatsApp from work. Mm. And the very first thing I say is, this is not a work platform. Please text or email. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because that is my personal platform. WhatsApp is a personal platform and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that maybe as a poly group we should use Teams. Have my own team.
Okay. I'm going to go register a domain.
Yeah. So, and now I'm thinking like talking about passing notes and whatnot. Was passing notes like analog texting?
Yeah, it was 100%.
Uh-huh.
No, it was analog surveys. Will you be my boyfriend?
Check yes or no. Was? Oh, great. My
cookies. Do you really like me?
My cookies have a Trojan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other big thing that we do is we share calendars. So we tend to use Google Calendar is the way that we do it. And so I will say that with Google Calendars, you can share your calendars. You can show your time as busy or free. Basically. So basically you say I'm busy at this time. So say Friday night from 5 p.m. to midnight, whatever, I'm busy. Or maybe Thursday from 2 to 4 or something, whatever. Or you can actually share details so they can see exactly what's going on. My only complaint with Google Calendars is, and you can have as many calendars as you want, right? So you can have work ones, you can have like your primary nesting partner personal ones, you can have ones you share with your poly family, you know, you can have different calendars for different things. I find that very complicated. I'm not going to do that, but you can. I know people that do. My only real complaint is that it is either busy or all details.
Yeah.
And I don't mind sharing details with my poly family because I'm close enough to you. You know what I'm doing anyway. We talk about everything. However, do you really want to see, oh, Angela has a hair appointment on Tuesday at 3 p.m.? You probably don't really fucking care about my hair appointment.
Yeah. It's well, more we do because we like seeing the new styles. So, meh.
Fine.
But yes.
But you probably just want to know, are you busy or free? Like, are you busy or not to, like, get together if we want to go out or do something together, right? And so I guess it's just so for Google Calendars, it's the calendar, when you share it, is all or nothing kind of thing. So that's my only real complaint.
So there's what we're saying. If you're an app person out there and you can develop a app that is both chat and calendar and like poly-based, that'd be awesome.
But there's actually a few out there.
Well, get... Oh, so wait. Any of them good?
Well, I have not tried them. I've only found them. I did rule a few out because some of them were definitely more like family, grandparent related. Like, oh, you can do your shopping list and your
poly kid, grandparents.
But it's more
it's
for like,
your dream.
Granny family.
Yeah. Woof. Yum.
Yeah. So some of them were very much more around like, you know, family oriented kind of stuff.
I'm just going to say, at my age, it's hard to scream, fuck me, daddy. Right.
Fuck me, gramps.
Yeah. It's like, it's difficult and I miss it. That's all I'm going to say.
Go pa. Go
when
pa.
When I was in my 30s, it was easy. Yeah. Now, not so much. Mm.
And I will say that I'm going to run through a couple of the other ones besides, I think like Google Calendars is probably one of the most commonly used ones. Yeah. Because you can have the calendars that you want. You can share them amongst everybody. Most people have it on their phones. It integrates really well with a lot of other calendar apps. So it's just super easy to use. And I think it's probably one of the bigger ones that's used amongst friend groups as well, besides just Poly. But there are some additional ones out there, and I will mention a few that I found that looked like they were promising. I think they pretty well all have chat and in like instant messaging integrated with them, which is also a really cool feature. And maybe we'll check some of these out. What I have not looked at in them or really delved into too far is like privacy things. They all integrate with Google Calendar and Apple Calendar. So there's no issue if you want to share calendars or copy back, you know, like if you basically say, here's my Google Calendar, pull all this in, now I can use you. Great. But I haven't really looked at all the privacy things and all the bits and bobs and the details behind it all. So if you're interested in such, do your research and figure out what's best for you. So some of the other ones I found are Raft, you know, like whitewater rafting.
Or like you tie a bunch of posts together and become a raft.
Yep. So Raft is one. And some of them as well, like with their instant messaging, like you can have polls and things as well to say, like, this looks like everybody's available at this time. And you can say yes, no.
Well, that's, I like that.
Cool. That's
which
pretty cool.
It's kind of neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time Tree is one. And I think we've mentioned this before, or at least we've looked at it before ages ago. So it's one that I'd probably pick back up. And then another one that I saw was Howbout, Howbout.
I like that name.
Okay.
Yeah.
The name's cool.
So those three looked to be the best. Some of the other ones, like I said, were more kind of like logistics, family, like here's a shopping list, a to-do list kinds of things. A few of them got a bit more kind of project manager, Trello kind of board type things.
And Angela became aroused.
Yeah.
But that's probably not really appropriate for the group kind of thing. So I, like just in my kind of brief looking around, it looked like Raft, Time Tree, and Howbout might be alternatives to look at as opposed to Google Calendars. So it may be something that we check out. We'll do a bit more research and kind of see for ourselves. Is it something we're interested in? But there are options out there. How useful they are and whether it's good for you and your life and your circle, it may or may not be. But, you know, it might be worth checking out anyway.
I actually think this raises a really interesting point, is keeping communication in the Poly group open.
Mm.
You know, Bradford's mentioned here around the seven of us. It's difficult to know how to all communicate at the same time without stepping on another person's toes or leaving someone out or not knowing what someone's doing. It is fucking difficult to know that we're all on the same page.
Well, also, if you look at like our chat groups, we have the four of us are in a group.
Yep.
We have a chat with the gentleman. We have a chat with Spanky. We have a chat with all six of us together. We have a chat with Leo. We have a chat with all of us and Leo. We have a chat with all of us and Leo and his partner and partners.
Yep.
And like there's a lot of different.
And we have the Sydney Social Committee.
Yeah.
And so there's like a lot of different levels of chats. And sometimes you know, because only like the first few names come up, I have to like click on the heading and be like, who's in this chat? Is this the group I want to send it to? Or do I want to send it to a different group? So that's where I like really descriptive names as opposed to just people's names at the top, because then I start to learn like who's actually in this group.
It's an interesting thing. Mm. And I don't know, you've said you haven't looked at these platforms. Mm. Maybe one of them is the answer, but it's really hard to find the platform that is the answer.
I do like the idea of being able to poll people, which I know polling you can do in Messenger.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you can. But
then you have to be there. It's easier if you're friends on Facebook. And who likes Facebook anymore? Like,
Over 40s.
I've got so many chats muted.
That's the other thing too,
because I don't want to fucking know.
There is also how much chatting is the appropriate amount, and that's always different between individuals in a relationship or a dynamic.
And also what day of the week it is for me. Like I'm like all about it, and then sometimes I'm watching you three chat away, and I'm like, if they don't shut up, I will murder them all.
After 8:30, I'm out
until 11 p.m. And then she wakes up, answers everything, and then immediately goes back to sleep.
Until 4 a.m. Yeah. And then I'm back on and like, so wake up, fuckers.
I am kind of now thinking that maybe it is worth checking out some of these other options. Because what would be interesting to have is, because we'd have as well, like, you know, Facebook groups or Facebook chats and WhatsApp chats with a lot of other people. What would be interesting is to have something that an app where you know that any notification, anything that comes up, this is my poly circle. Mm. These are the people that are closest to me, as opposed to, you know, when you open up Messenger, it could be any one of 50 chats, right?
Yeah.
And so it might be worth looking into just to have a way to distinguish. Then the question becomes, when you're establishing a relationship, you know, you have to make that jump at some point and say, okay, now we're at the point in our relationship that we're going to share calendars. We want to chat separately. Let's move over to this platform.
Well, yeah, I think what you're saying there is really where circles differentiate to Venn diagrams.
Yeah.
They really do, because...
Fucking nerds.
I'm a nerd, but at some point...
Who invited him?
My circle is going to overlap with somebody else's circle.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all of a sudden get into Venn diagrams. And at what point does the Venn diagram all go into the one app?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's like, difficult.
So part of me says, like, yeah, it'd be really kind of neat to have different apps. But then, like you said, like at some point, it all then just merges back together.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you try to find another app to try to get your poly family on that app, because everybody's invited the next app.
Exactly. And how many apps do you want to have? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the struggle's real.
The struggle is real. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. That's what, like, phone calls.
Yeah, which is why you do what Jude does and just ignores everyone.
But then...
until 4 a.m.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, it's not... there's no real good answer. There's no one go-to that...
No.
It's like, everybody does this kind of thing. It's more just, your mileage will vary. Figure out what works for you, your partners, your circle, your lifestyle. And try things. Like, you might try something for a bit and be like, actually, this isn't really working out. Or maybe it works out for me, but it doesn't work out for you. Exactly. And so it's like, what works best for all of us?
And it's just that normal every part of communication. Mm. The communication face-to-face, have the same thing around your app platform.
Yeah.
Talk about what it is. Try and get something stable that's going to work for everyone.
Yeah,
so
it's difficult.
And as long as you're communicating, ultimately, it doesn't really matter what the platform is, as long as it works.
Yeah.
So what platform are you on at the moment, Bradford?
I'm currently flipping between Grindr and Sniffies. I mean, I care what you're all saying, but I also...
How is Sniffies at the moment?
Look, it's...
I haven't been on it forever.
It's a lot of dick pics. Like, if you're in it for the dick pics, it's not bad.
Look, I've seen some dicks.
Yeah, but like...
Are they good dicks?
Profile pics.
Oh.
These are profile dicks.
Have you seen
profile
those dicks?
No, probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to see a dick, you just go to Google and you just say dick and you get 4 billion responses.
I don't want pictures of Dick Cheney, like Dick Clark.
Although I do like those little side-by-sides of Dick Cheney and then a big dick.
Oh, my God.
All right, I just went to Google Images.
Oh, my God.
And I typed in dick.
Turn off safe search.
The first seven, well, most of the first page is blurred out, other than apparently some award that is dick-shaped and a box that says eat a dick and some dick film. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Dick with.
Okay, let me turn Bill off Murray. The search. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
is it Bill Murray?
The Dick and Jane with Jim Carrey.
Oh, I do remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I turned off safe search, and now I have Chocolate Eat a Dick from Chocogram. I have Sexy Land Dicks. I've got there's like all kinds of dicks, dongs, and like I don't know, dildos, and yeah. So yeah, go Google if you needed to see a dick pic.
If you look honestly, you if you need to see a dick, it's not hard.
It's well. It's, I mean,
well, hopefully
the one that I just got was.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so does anybody have anything else to say
about
poly struggles, poly life?
So I had, like I said, the top questions that poly folk often get. And the first one is poly, and this touches on something we've already discussed, is polyamory the same as polygamy?
No, it is not.
No.
Define.
Are you asking me or?
I'm not Mormon.
Oh my gosh.
Well, polygamy is one man with many wives.
Multiple wives. That's a traditional.
Right. And polyamory is, I mean, it's technically many loves. So it's many partners.
Many
people. It's not gendered. It's not. I guess I also, and this could just be my own bias, but I think it's also where it comes from, is that polygamy's. I see it as a more religious type of thing, right? And polyamory, I see more as a lifestyle, although I realize that polygamists would probably say it's a lifestyle as well. So,
yeah, I think you're probably right, but I think in the normal consciousness of it, polygamy is traditionally thought of as the man with multiple wives.
Yeah.
And it does.
It's the other one's bigamy, right? A woman with multiple husbands?
Yeah.
No.
Polygyny. No.
Polygyny. There it is.
Yeah. Bigamy is a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go there. If I was giving you something really nice, that was really bigamy. Is that not what it means? Like whenever I cook dinner for everybody and I don't ask y'all to do anything,
sorry,
that's bigamy.
You're a bigamist.
I'm the bigamist.
You're the bigamist.
I'm the bigamist. Damn it, the bigamist.
And I realize that there's different ways of doing polyamory, of course, but also I see polygamy as tending to be where kind of the more traditional definition of there's one man, multiple wives, and the wives, while they probably live near each other, interact together, they're not necessarily partners the same way as a polyamorous relationship.
I think it's more a spoken wheel situation that they're the hub cap and the wives are the spokes of the wheel where there's not an overlap. And I think quite often in polygamy there is an overlap or it becomes more of a what's the shit you've got on your belly?
Tattoos.
No.
Hair.
The
belly button?
No, the molecular chain.
Oh,
That it becomes more abstract in its structure.
Right.
Okay.
This person connects to that person and these two connect back to this one and it doesn't necessarily mean it's not a spoken wheel. It's not a central focal point quite often in polygamy.
No, and
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I see what
it's
you're
not,
saying.
You know.
You mean in polyamory?
Polyamory, whereas polygamy it is. Yeah. It is that spoken wheel.
Yeah.
That somebody is the central point of the polygamist. They are the polygamist.
Okay.
Where in polyamory it is more of a group situation.
All right, yeah.
And how do you see the difference, Bradford?
I don't. I think that polygamy is a legal binding thing and polyamory is just a bunch of us being emotionally.
Because we're not allowed to be legally.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
we can't legally be bound by the law.
Yeah.
Whereas polygamy is a legal bind by the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Other questions? But isn't it cheating? We're not even going to answer that because if you listen to this podcast, you know.
No.
But I think this one's good. Don't you get jealous? And I think that's an interesting thing that, like, jealousy is a weird thing. Like, I very rarely get jealous. I will admit I am already pre-jealous for tomorrow because not a polyamory thing, but a open relationship thing in that Angela has a friend coming over tomorrow. I'm going out with Leo tomorrow. We planned this for a while. We're going out to the theater. but a person that we've both wanted to hook up with for a while is coming over, and Angela is clearly going to lay down some law.
Mm-hmm.
And by law, I think I mean Angela. She's going to lay herself down.
My name is now Law.
And and it's like, I am a little jealous that, I'm not jealous.
That's FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah, it's a FOMO thing. Yeah. And I didn't know that was happening, and now I have FOMO. Because I don't even
Judy,
know.
How do you feel about it?
You didn't even say there's no. I have no knowledge who this person is.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah, I know who it is. Yes.
And yeah.
I have FOMO.
This person is 50% Disney princess and 50% cyberpunk, and like literally, that is literally the thing that I look for in humans.
Can you press that pause button? I've got to go cry for 5 minutes.
I could just
play that button.
Just go ahead and cry. Yeah. I'll do that. No. Or maybe the.
Oh, I 100% get what
you're
saying.
You're wondering how I got here.
Yeah. And I do know what you mean, though. It's not, I think FOMO is the right word.
Yeah, I'm not jealous.
It's not jealousy.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, like, and it is an excitement.
But pressure's on for Angela to convince this person to come back, right? If she doesn't perform, then like...
It's all on Angela.
It's all on Angela. Yeah. It's not on me, which is nice for the pressure not to be on me.
Well, you know that she's coming back, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Also...
Let Bradford have his hopes and dreams that Angela might stuff them. Up.
Well, then he doesn't get a chance.
Yeah.
So, but if you stuff up, he can hold that.
There.
I still want to get a chance. I'm like, or what if I'm batting cleanup? Uh-huh. Anyway.
But I will say, though, totally that
cleanup between these two.
But jealousy does happen. And there are times and places for it. And it's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, jealousy can be good and it can be healthy. Mm. It depends on how you handle it, how often it happens, and just kind of, you know, like the whole situation thing. And we've had podcasts about this in the past. Sure, we'll talk about it again in the future. But I would say that Bradford and I tend to not be super jealous people. Not to say it can't happen. It just doesn't happen frequently. For us, it tends to be more FOMO.
Yeah.
Yeah, FOMO is a big thing. And I think FOMO and jealousy have I'm going to go back to my Venn diagram. I think there is an overlap.
There's a similar route.
There is a very similar route between it, and understanding what the difference is between them is a big thing. Because people might go, you're jealous. No, it's not necessarily jealousy. Yeah. It's just because I would love to be in that situation.
And I do think people, it's FOMO more than jealousy. But I think that comes across to a lot of people as they think that they want their partner more than they want you, and that's why they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's not and that comes back to a lot of self-esteem and body love, body image. They're not hanging around because they like me. If I wasn't here, it wouldn't matter. You'd still be in the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it isn't so much the fear of missing out, but like, I know in the past and I know everybody has self-doubts.
Yeah, of course.
But I've sat back and watched the interaction between Cobe and people that in our family and gone, well, if I wasn't here, it wouldn't fucking matter. Mm. Not that I'm going to go and off myself because I'm not suicidal or anything.
But also, do your children matter that much?
Huh?
Who? Is that family?
No. The poly family.
Oh,
okay.
And
I think that has a lot to do with people's I really think it's 10% jealousy, and I don't think it's much more than that, but it is more a fear of missing out.
Yeah. But it's also recognizing it and being able to talk about it and figure out what is the root of this, and is there a way to mitigate it or not? Or is it something that we just, okay, we accept it and we deal with it. We know that this happens and this is what we do in the moment so that it doesn't become an issue.
Yeah.
I think there's a flip side of that too. And maybe I'm an island in this one, but I want to see my poly family do things with other people that when they go and do those things, I go, fuck, I'm missing out. You know, like, I think you're the same. I think it's exactly what you're saying about what may happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to happen, trust me.
Yeah, but you want
not
that.
You.
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
God damn, Judy.
Oh, God. But you're more than happy for that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still that element of FOMO.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing. You want that.
Yeah.
But fuck, I wish I was there. Or,
but it's not, you know,
it's not a bad thing. It's a positive thing.
It's not 90% jealousy. It's 90% fear of missing out.
Yeah, yeah.
10% jealous, oh, fuck, I wish it was me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to break those numbers down more. I'm going to say it's like 60% excitement, 30% FOMO, 10% I'm missing out.
My God, how do you keep up with all those numbers?
Yeah, fuck you.
Maybe you should be the project manager of this poly family.
Yes. So,
and just to touch on something that you said, which I think is funny, and you might be surprised about this. I've had that same feeling a couple of times. I'm pointing at Judy. Nobody can see me pointing a podcast. I've had that feeling as well, that if I wasn't here, nothing would change. Like
I know that it would change.
Yeah. And like,
but
it would change because who would bring the comedy in the middle of sets?
I thought you were going to say who would make the pizzas.
Who's going to video it?
And then masturbate to it later. But like,
they ain't got time. They're fucking.
It is funny because I'm like, well, that's what the gentleman's there for. He does the filming. He's our filmer. He's our cinematographer.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is. It's
It is that feeling like, you know, I could totally fade into the sunset and there would be nothing would have changed.
Yeah.
And like, I think we all sort of have that feeling of.
And I'm sure everybody has felt it at some time.
Yeah, of course. It's a human emotion. It's going to happen.
It is.
Right?
It is.
It's going to come up.
Yeah, and I think that might be one of the big things about polyamory in general is the emotions that you've got with a primary partner are the same emotions you have with your subsequent partners.
Yeah, which just compounds it, right?
Yeah, it does.
Because
it compounds it even
they team
more.
Up on you.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah, I actually think in polyamory, and maybe it's my misgiving, but I feel more vulnerable. I feel I have more vulnerabilities when I'm in a polyamorous situation.
Hmm. Why?
Which I have chosen to be into.
People?
Yeah. Because your levels of vulnerability are different. You open yourself up because you want to expose yourself to more.
Oh my
no,
God.
No, don't.
Like,
Bradford,
go ahead,
I knew you were going to run with that straight away.
I want to expose myself to more people. Coincidentally, it's why I'm no longer around churches and schools.
And that's why he has a big jacket.
I knew as soon as I said those words that you would take it down that way.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, taking it down, maybe. Oh,
boy. But I really do think you make yourself more vulnerable with more people.
Yeah. I think I'm going to expand on that and then sort of tie it into the next question, which will likely be our last question, which is what makes you choose polyamory over monogamy? Which I think is a good question. And I think for me, I do agree with I'm more vulnerable as well, but I'm not going to say I am on average more vulnerable amongst a group. I know that Judy and I have things that we talk about that it's because we come to problems from a similar point of view. And like when I might try to explain it to Angela and she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or if I might try to explain it to you or the gentleman or anyone else. And there, you all are like, that is not how I would do it.
You're
but I know that
Judy, idiot.
Yeah, Judy goes, yeah, I see that the exact same way. Yeah. So I can be vulnerable with her and we'll go out on the balcony and have a good, nice, long, deep and meaningful and have a conversation about it. And then, you know, at the same time,
and then you
Angela
come back in and I'm giving him a blowjob.
Or I was going to say Angela and the gentleman are at Bunnings because I find that as the most like horrific thing. Like, why would anybody go to like Lowe's or Home Depot or Bunnings? It's not fun.
Voluntarily.
Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
They go in there.
IKEA is.
I do love an IKEA, yeah. Right? I know it's fucked up.
And also, speaking of IKEA, that's how you know you've made it as a poly family. If you can all go to IKEA and survive and still like each other.
We went to IKEA with the gentleman's children.
I know.
And we all survived.
I know. Mm.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. And I think you've probably said that better.
Yes.
I think you've probably said that better is that, you know, is the fact that you are more vulnerable, but you're more vulnerable individually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think it's one of the most amazing things about polyamory is that you, as well as being vulnerable, you have strengths with other people.
Yeah.
You and I have a love of movies and music that other people just don't understand and don't get.
They're normal and we're
weird. Yeah, I know, we're weird.
Your brains are amazing places.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, like, Angela and I will go off and talk about, you know, different intersections of, well, intersections of Venn diagrams of business and whatever other bullshit. And Jude and I can sit in silence for 6 hours and not say a word to each other and still love each other at the end of it.
That's called marriage, though, right?
Love and marriage. Love
and marriage. Arguably, that's probably why you still love each other at the end of it, is because you haven't pissed each other off by saying something.
And maybe that's it. But, you know, but you've all got that thing that you can have with each other. So you've got the strength and the vulnerability with individuals. But instead of just having it with one person, you've got it with all the people.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
It is interesting because we grew up, I think all of us grew up in the, it takes a village kind of thing to raise a child, when I'm nothing more than a man child. So it takes a village to keep this man child alive.
I didn't grow up in that.
Yeah, you did. That was Hillary Clinton's thing, wasn't it? It takes a village. It
takes a village, yeah.
Maybe, but my family did not subscribe to that.
Missed that memo. Yeah.
Barbara Bush just told you to read books. Also,
and just say no.
Just say no.
Books.
Also, we grew up way before the Clinton era. Really.
Which means
You may have, but Bradford on the other hand.
I was going to say, I don't feel like I grew up way before the Clinton era.
Definitely before.
Yeah, Bradford grew up in the Obama or the Trump era.
I did. I'm still growing up.
He's growing up in the era that's after Biden, whatever
after
that is.
After Biden, yeah. Kamala Harris was a big influence.
I'm right next to you, Bradford.
1993.
Yeah, but you said was,
come on, you were an adult at
yes,
that point.
Yes, but at that,
me, I was
not an adult.
We're in high school at that point. I'd left high school.
Yeah, late high school. I was
93.
Fucking hell.
93. I was smoking drugs.
Okay, smoking drugs.
You were at 14.
Drinking alcohol.
I just quoted Dear Evan
and going
Hansen.
You did.
I just quoted Dear Evan Hansen in the best possible way.
Smoking drugs.
But realistically, in the mid-90s, like, we were in high school, right?
Yeah, we weren't children.
I had two kids by then.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is very true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Fuck. Rephrase, baby. Yeah, 93. Rephrase.
I was 4 years away from being a stepfather of three.
My point is, what I meant was that we, like, that was the political era in which we first started paying attention.
Definitely. Yeah.
I've started paying attention when Clinton was inaugurated. Yeah. Mm. Like, a little bit of the Reagan era and then into the Bush era, but mostly in the
Reagan era, you were a child.
I was a,
You know, at the Clinton era, you could make a decision.
Yeah, I could understand what was being said. And I listened.
Yeah, exactly.
And I cared.
I'm sorry I made jokes about that, but you're 100% right. The Clinton era. The Australian and for the Australians, that was the John Howard era.
The eyebrows. If you don't know who John Howard is, please look him up.
Yeah.
His eyebrows are amazing.
Yeah.
I'll try to post a picture on Instagram. Future Angela, remind me to do this.
And also for the North Americans.
Angela has a good fact here. Cope, shush.
Oh, I was going to say, for the North Americans, go and look at John Oliver and John Howard interview, because that is just phenomenal. Yeah.
Please continue, Angela.
No, I was just saying, because Bradford said that the Clinton era is when we started paying attention to politics. But I will tell you what made me start paying attention to politics, and it's dumb. And
Is it 2 years ago?
No. It was the 1988 presidential election. So I was in, I don't know, elementary school at some point, probably like fourth grade, I think it was. And I don't know why, but at our school, we had this thing that was like a mock election. So we had to vote for who we would vote for the president. And I voted for Michael Dukakis because I thought his name sounded really cool.
You like Dukakis?
Dukakis.
I knew.
She's like, he has two cocks.
Macau.
He's got two cocks.
I knew nothing about politics. I just knew I liked his name. And I was like, okay, cool. Now maybe I like politics.
So that's what got me into politics for tonight.
So cock got you into politics. That's what we know. Yeah.
Potentially two cocks.
Two cocks.
But at least he was a Democrat. So yeah, well, that's true.
Was he bicoccus or was he decoccus?
Anyway, yes.
All right, so that's polyamory in a nutshell. This whole podcast.
I got a headache.
This whole podcast should be a nice deep breath as to what polyamory actually feels like on a normal, regular basis. Yeah. Because literally everything we've done tonight is basically what we normally do on a random Tuesday night.
Also, I'm just going to say that we probably turned a lot of people off of polyamory. And they're like, you know what? Now I'm monogamous.
You know what? I'm no longer voting green.
I'd just like to say, I love you, Brad. I love you, Angela.
Yeah.
Yes, we love you all.
We love you all.
Fucking cunts.
Monogamy is a thing, though. I don't know.
I love you, Cobe.
I don't think it's monogamy. I think it's monogamy.
Time to go home.
I will say we laugh a lot.
We do.
There's something for that.
We do. Yeah.
We're going to have crow's feet. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Are you polyogamous?
Can I just add something?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm trying to do my outro.
No, not yet.
Hold that thought.
What does polyamory look like for you? Go ahead.
Going back to the jealousy FOMO thing.
Okay. That was like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. You can backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
There's times where we're sitting around talking that everybody's having a great time, but there's people that click more than other people, which it looks like not from an outsider's perspective, but from a group perspective. And they're the times where you think that you just don't really need to be there because they don't need that extra person in the group. But it takes the group to make the group.
Oh, well, it does. Yeah, it does.
And like also,
every Lego is important in a Lego set.
Yeah.
Even the one pieces.
Right? Yeah, I like that.
But it is. It's true, people click
differently at different times too, right?
Yeah. There's times that, like, there'll be a group of us walking down the street and there'll be couples holding hands, we're all one group, but there'll be, and this is just an example, Angela and Leo holding hands walking down the street. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like certain people can do that without other people looking at it as weird. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't want it to sound weird because I know that I could walk up to anyone, hold their hand, and walk down the street.
With their consent.
Fuck you, Bradford. I'm trying to be serious.
I am too. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Did you not sign my consent waiver?
But people looking at it from the outside, even if they were just friends, not actually poly family.
Would
look at it as if there was those two and those two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because everybody sees the snapshot.
You see the snapshot.
But, like, I'm going to argue, like, I think that's a cultural thing and I think that's a white cultural thing.
I think it is.
I'm just bringing it up because I know,
I think it's a good point.
There's the occasional time that I see that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that because, like, I wouldn't be accepted like that.
But not
all the time. And it's not an example of you and Leo.
Leo is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, but
it's just you.
I know exactly what you're saying. You and I can walk hand in hand down the
street. Haymarket.
Without a problem. Right? You and Angela can walk hand in hand down the street without a problem. You and Bradford can without a problem. And any one of those combinations, me and Angela, me and Bradford, Bradford and Angela, without a problem. But I think whoever sees you sees a snapshot.
Mm.
And I think that is what sticks in their mind. And you said something just about white people.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing.
I totally think it's a white 100%.
If you and I walk down the street, they go, oh, look at those guys.
Yes, but because what we've noticed, particularly in Sydney, I would say more so because we're exposed to it more than we were in the US, is that a lot of people from Asian cultures will hold hands as friends.
Yeah.
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 And it's more just, it can be two female friends. And I've seen it with people that I work with. I've seen it a lot of
male presenting arm in arm and then like groups arm in arm and they're kind of milling about. Yep. I honestly think it's a white people thing. I think we are
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. those two guys are holding hand. That must mean that they're committed life partners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's,
I certainly don't mean that as a negative.
No, it's not at all. It's a great observation. But I think that's an interesting thing of acceptance. As I said, you and Angela walk down the street hand in hand. No problem. You are a lesbian couple, and I understand that.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, but Bradford and I walk down the street hand in hand.
We are a thespian couple.
We are a thespian couple. We are obviously going to the theatre, and that is fine.
We are skipping half the time.
Yeah, half the time. And you and I
and
do.
And singing.
That's right. You and I do. It's not a problem. We're what's that word? Non-monogamous couple.
Yeah. Heterosexual.
Heterosexual monogamous couple.
I love
couple.
That you struggle with
yeah,
that
Yeah, I do.
Word.
I do. But I think that is an interesting part of the white snapshot or yeah. the mm-hmm. normal snapshot.
Yeah, it's
the Western snapshot. It wouldn't matter what it is. We all do it, and you could do it every afternoon, not a problem, with any mix you like, and it would be accepted. It's when you walk from you to me holding hands to then hold hands with Angela and give her mm-hmm. a kiss and then go to Bradford and jump on his back and ride his back down the street.
Oh, God, and break his back down the street.
But that's fucking weird to the Western snapshot.
But you've also taken that out of a snapshot then, right?
And it's now a short film.
Yeah, it's a short film. And that's a really good way to put it.
It will win the Cannes Short Film Festival. Yeah.
And it may, and more power to it for winning.
To Sundance. Because,
yeah. And I think that's what's the big difference is. I think there is a lot of acceptance around same-sex couples and mixed couples. But
still couples.
Polyamory.
Yeah.
And I think that is the really big thing. And I think that's the underlying premise of what we've been discussing. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if that's right or not. It could just be me talking bullshit. But I think
you've summed this up really nicely. And I'm glad that you could take this whole big conglomeration of gibberish that we've been talking and like sum it up nicely.
And well, now I'm going to close out.
Say.
So, okay. Y'all shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up now. I love you, Bradford.
Let us know your experiences. Email us, theatomsoflove@gmail.com. You can message us on any of our socials. We are at By the Bow Podcast on Facebook and the Instagram. Or you can go to our website, www.bythebow.com, and go to the contact page. If you're looking to meet us, we update our events page on bythebow.com. Or you can talk to us directly by supporting us at any level on patreon.com/bythebypodcast and then sliding into our Discord. That's right. So we will see you next week. Thank you so very much and have a wonderful week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.